In the past few Sundays, we have been teaching on various subjects that require us to use an expression called the present tense of the verb believe. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, we have a Philippian jailer, a Roman, who has imprisoned Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are down in the prison, locked in stocks. And they're rejoicing in the Lord, even though they've been beaten. And beaten against the law, because Paul and Silas were Romans. And Romans were not to be beaten without a trial. And yet they were. And while they were singing, God sent an earthquake. And there's nothing like an earthquake that'll put the fear of God in every person's heart. People are in an earthquake. They have a tendency to pray. They don't wait till Sunday prayers. They pray right now. And so we find the Philippian jailer coming down to Paul and Silas, knowing that the prison doors had opened. And if the prison doors were open, any sane prisoner in that period of time would have run for their lives, escaped. And the Philippian jailer would know that if any prisoner escaped under his jurisdiction, it would be his life for theirs. So he comes down the stairs, ready to commit suicide with a sword, and Paul says, "Hold on. Don't do anything." And the Philippian jailer comes in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, and they said, or Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." This is the only place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer. If you want to know how to be saved, there's only one way of salvation, and that's by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The words "believe" in this passage of Scripture is a very interesting word, in that its grammar makes a very pointed fact about how to be saved. The grammar in this verb "believe," it's an imperative. It uses the aorist tense of the verb, and if you were to graph the action of the aorist tense of the verb, you would graph it as a dot. See the little dot there? It's a dot. This is the way the Greek expresses the aorist tense. It's an event. It's not an ongoing process. When you believe, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, an event happens in your life. You are born from above. And being born from above, you become a child of God that can never change. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and become His child, that cannot be changed. That cannot be reversed. If that process could be reversed, Paul would not have used the aorist tense of the verb. He would have used the present tense of the verb. And in the little grammar that I put in the notes this morning from Dane and Manti's manual grammar, it says there are really two fundamental ways of viewing action: as a point, which we may call punctiliar action, or it may be represented as in process, as a line. And this we may call linear action. The perfect tense is a combination of the two ideas. It looks in the perspective at the action and regards the result of the action as continuing to exist. In other words, it happens in the past and it continues to exist in the day, in the present time. Hence, the perfect tense has both elements, linear and punctiliar. The aorist is represented by a dot. The present is represented or is by a line, and the perfect by a combination of a dot and a line. And it's significant that Paul did not use the present tense of the verb, which would be a line. Because by using the present tense of the verb in this context, when the Philippian jailer asked how to be saved, it would have meant that the Philippian jailer would have to have been faithful in believing from then on. And as soon as he quit believing, he would be lost. That belief is alive and well in many churches today. I ran into that on Saturday over a phone call. And he was telling me that you could lose your salvation. And that's just simply not the case. Salvation is an event. When you trust Jesus Christ, you're in the family. You're born in the family. And you become His child. And for me to try to conceive in my mind of reversing that action is just absolutely contrary to common sense. Anyone born into a family of God, that regardless of what that child does, it's still your child. It can't be reversed. And let me tell you this: I don't know any of the names of my unborn children. Do you? I was telling Paul, I says, if I had a list of their names, I could show you their pictures. You see them? So once you're born into the family of God, that cannot be changed. And you're not adopted into the family of God either. I want to just emphasize that. There are no adopted kids into the family of God. I'm not against adoption. I think it's essential in our society that children be adopted and cared for and loved and nurtured. So I'm not against that. But in God's family, there are no adoptions. They are simply children that have been born into His family. Now, I've alluded to the present tense of the verb believe. And it is well used in the New Testament. When we think about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, we need to appreciate the fact that all can be saved. There's not a person within the sound of my voice that cannot receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 1 Timothy 4:2 tells us, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Not only does God want you to be born into His family, He wants you to grow in the Word of God. Spiritual growth, spiritual food is essential. So anyone, all men can be saved. But there is something that you find unique about believing in the present tense. Not all can do that. Not all can do that. In John 6:64, it says, "But there are some of you that believe." In the present tense. I use the line to emphasize or indicate the present tense. So we're talking about linear action. And by the way, Jesus was teaching some things that were hard to understand and that some of His disciples could not follow and didn't want to follow. And He says, "There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him." Now, he's talking about Judas here, obviously, but he's also talking about a group of other disciples who went away from Him. They didn't betray Jesus, but they quit following Him. And I think everyone in here knows the fact that there's a time or times in our lives when we are more interested in following the Lord than when there are times when we are not. That's simple. It's not hard to understand that. There's sometimes when we're walking with the Lord, and there's sometimes we're not. And it came to be that some of those disciples quit walking with the Lord. In John chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, it says, "Therefore they could not believe," present tense, "because that Isaiah said again, 'He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Here we have a reference to the nation of Israel. When Jesus came preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand," He was preaching to some that could hear this message and see this message, and there were those in the crowds who could not see nor hear this message. This message is not a mess, or the message that Jesus was preaching when He came to the nation of Israel was not how to be saved. Because all, God's will is that all be saved. So when you think about the fact that what Isaiah said, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts," this is not a reference to getting saved. This is a reference of hardening their hearts and blinding their eyes to a message that pertains to entrance into the coming kingdom of our Lord. There are no contradictions in the Bible, okay? And the fact that Jesus wants everyone to be saved, He's not going to fix it so some people can be and some people can't. And that's what you could draw from this message here. So the message that Jesus was teaching was not that of how to be saved. Now, let's continue. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And this is His commandment." This commandment is a definite article before it, meaning it is a particular commandment, and it is singular in number. It's not the Ten Commandments. This is a single commandment, okay? "That we should believe," present active, align, "on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment," also singular in number. In fact, believing in the present tense and loving in the present tense go together. Okay? In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "These things were written that ye might believe," in the present tense. The book of John is written to encourage us to be faithful. I guess what I need to do is to define what believe in the present tense is. It has to do with faithfulness on the part of a child of God. An unfaithful child of God is not pleasing Him, not pleasing God. A faithful child of God is pleasing the Father. And let me assure you, it does make a difference how you live. Okay? God hates sin, and He doesn't want that to be in any of His children's lives. He wants us to live clean and pure and holy lives. So, the book of John was written that you might believe, in the present tense, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, the life that is referred to here is kingdom life. That's what the life is referring to here. Because believing in the present tense allows us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can I make this distinction? In John 3:3, it says, "Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If we are believing in the present tense, we will get to enter the kingdom. There's a difference between seeing the kingdom, that is, being a subject, and entering the kingdom, being a sovereign. If you've got a ticket to the Super Bowl, will you enter the game? No, you will be an observer. We wouldn't last 10 seconds on the field if we were lined up against the defense or the offense. We're not qualified. We're not prepared. The same thing in the kingdom. If you're unfaithful now, God's not going to give you a responsibility to rule over 10 cities or 5 cities. That's what it means to enter into the kingdom. If you're saved, you get to see the kingdom. You will be a subject rather than a sovereign. Okay. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe," present active, "on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." What is What is eternal life? Well, we need to look at the word eternal a little bit. First of all, there is no Greek word for eternity in the Greek language. The Greek language does not have a word for eternity. This word here is actually a noun. And it's used as an adjective. And if this word eternal was correctly translated, it would be translated age. Singular. Now, how do you take a noun, age, and make an adjective out of it? Well, that's probably the reason why they translated eternal, because they just didn't have a good way of translating it. But there's a possibility of translating it age-lasting. An age that lasts for a period of time. And the reference to the age that is in the New Testament has to do with the millennial age. So rather than translating an age-lasting life, I just made a reference to it here as preferred millennial life. To rule and reign is preferred. I mean, all you have to be aware of is what's been going on in Washington. What is preferred? To be the president, to be around the president, to be in power. Let me tell you, that's the way things are going to be in the kingdom. When Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's going to have lords and kings, and if you're there, you're going to want to be part of that. Because associated with being a lord or a king is glory and power and riches and honor in 10 cities and 5 cities, depending upon the fruit that you bear. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, let me finish. Well, in other words, 1 John is written that you might believe in the present tense so that you can have preferred millennial life. And then he just repeats it, in case you're not believing, I want to encourage you to believe in the present tense. Now, one thing that I found, I tell you, it's amazing how you get truth from the Word of God. I graduated in 63. My degree's in mathematics. I've got a minor in Bible. I took Greek, New Testament Greek. We didn't really learn anything out of our translation work. All we were doing was mechanics. We were just translating words. And we never got into passages like Acts 16:31, where the emphasis is on the aorist tense of believing one time and so forth. And it wasn't until, I would say, 20 years later or plus, 20 years or better, that I learn what I found in Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe in the present tense. And in the time of temptation or tribulation or trial, fall away. What I found in this verse was very significant. I can believe aorist, and there's nothing can change that. I can pull the trigger on a gun, and I can't go get the bullet back. Okay? In the present tense, it's different. I can begin to be faithful in believing, and then I can stop it. What stops it? People ridiculing me. People giving me a hard time. And notice that it says, fall away. One thing that this verb is also in the present tense. Falling away, you don't go to the bottom when you fall away. It's a process of drifting and drifting and drifting away from the Lord. So the present tense is something that you can stop. But the aorist tense of the verb, you cannot stop. Once you believe, you can't change it. Okay? Now, one thing I want to try to do is to help you to associate believe in the present tense with the word or the noun faith. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe in the present tense, and there's no difference. So the reason why I want you to associate believe in the present tense with faith is this. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By associating believe in the present tense with faith, you should be able to associate it that as long as you're believing in the present tense, you're doing what? You're pleasing God. When you stop believing in the present tense, you have stopped pleasing God. And we're not talking about salvation here at all. We're talking about a child of God and his walk and his fellowship with the Lord and the blessings that will be and the benefits that will be for those who will do that. And I want to skip down to the last page. I'm going to just give you this. In John, this is the last verse in your notes. In John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe in the present tense." Let me tell you, believing in the present tense takes effort. It takes work. It takes conscientious effort to continue to be faithful to God. It's not easy. But let me tell you, it's worth it. When you think of the blessings and the rewards, and we will get into those just briefly here in just a moment. I also emphasize the fact that the ones that are believing are called sheep. In John chapter 10, verses 26 through 28, it says, "But ye believe," present tense, "not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Did you see the word hear, you see the word know, and you see the word follow? All of those are verbs, and they are in the present tense. People who are believing in the present tense are listening all the time. Jesus is knowing them all the time, and they are following Him all the time. That's the significance of the present tense. Faithfulness on the part of the sheep. Now, a sheep can stop being faithful. Okay? But only sheep can hear. Only sheep can believe in the present tense. In other words, this goes back to the doctrine of election, which is the doctrine of Calvinism. And many people look at the doctrine of Calvinism, particularly in the denomination that I grew up in, the Presbyterian Church, that only the elect were saved and the rest are damned. Sorry. But you know, election is not a saved and a damned situation. Election is a family matter where God says, "I want this child of mine to be here on a higher plane, a higher level. And I want this child of mine to be on a lower level." Just like the illustration in Romans chapter 9, where Esau and Jacob were both in the family. They were both children of Rebekah and Isaac. And Paul says, or the Lord says, the younger is going to be the ruler and the reigner over the older. In other words, the elder will serve the younger. In the Jewish economy, it was the other way around. If you were firstborn, you were the top dog. You got double inheritance. You were king over everybody. But God used that illustration in the Old Testament to teach us the doctrine of election. It's a family matter. It doesn't have anything to do with who's going to get saved and who isn't. It's who's going to rule and reign and who isn't. Who's going to be part of the sheep and who isn't going to be part of the sheep? Just remember, in the flock there are sheep and goats. The sheep are the ones who believe. Okay? Now let's go on. Now, what are the benefits of believing in the present tense? Acts chapter 10, verse 34. This is to Cornelius and his house. He says, "To him giveth all the prophets witness," this is Peter preaching, that through His name, whosoever believeth, in the present tense, shall receive remission of sins. Now, remission is a big word. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it's translated twice, but different in the same verse. It's translated liberty and deliverance. What this is saying is this: if you're believing in the present tense, sin doesn't have to have dominion over you. You can live a victorious over sin. It doesn't mean you won't sin, but it does not. The sin will not bring you into bondage to make you a servant of it. And let me tell you, sin is fun. Sin is desirable. If it wasn't, why are so many people doing it? But the point is this: we don't have to be in bondage. We don't have to be addicted to it. We can be delivered from it. And that's if those that are believing in the present tense. In Acts chapter 13:39, it says, "By Him all that believe," present tense, "are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law." This justification, what is justification? It has to do with being approved. No charges brought against you. A clean record. I just think about our president pardoning different people. Just thinking about the... I don't even have to think about anyone in particular. But the point is this: when the president pardons someone, if he was guilty of a felon, it gave him back all the privileges of voting and bearing arms. If you are convicted of being a felon, you can't bear arms and you can't vote. So being pardoned, being justified, means that there's nothing on your record. It's clean. You're just like you have never done it. So those that are believing in the present tense, that is, pleasing God, are going to have a clean record when they stand before Him to be judged. In Romans chapter 9, verse 33, it says that if we are believing, we will not be ashamed. If you're not living a life pleasing to the Lord, there's going to come a time when you will be ashamed. If you live like today, people are getting away with sin today, don't have no accountability. Let me tell you, there will come a day when they will be ashamed. They will be ashamed of the way they behaved, because that's just the way it is. Let me just read it here. "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed." It's also translated, "not be confused or confounded." But in verse 11 of Romans 10, it is translated ashamed. I'm going to skip down to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing," present tense, "that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You know what comes with believing? Joy and peace. When you know you're pleasing God, what other joy can you have? Now, I'm not talking about happiness. You get that at the Mall of America or Valley Fair or Christmas. Joy is something that lasts and lasts and lasts. And if you're believing in the present tense, you have joy and you have peace. You're not worried if the Lord comes home to get you, if you're doing what He wants you to do. When mom and dad came home and you weren't doing right, did you have peace? No. But if you're pleasing the Father, you're pleasing God, you're going to have peace. And not only that, you're going to have hope. Hope of what? Hope of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. In Galatians 3:22, "But the Scriptures conclude, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe," in the present tense. What is the promise? Well, 1 John 2:25 tells us exactly what the promise is, because it is singular in number. We're not talking about promises. We're talking about promise. And the promise has a definite article before it. And it says, "This is the promise that He hath promised us, even age-lasting life," or preferred life. This has to do with His millennial reign. This promise is offered if we continue to believe. It can be withdrawn if you begin to fail to please Him or if you stop pleasing Him. The promise has to do with inheritance. Do you know anybody that ever has been disinherited? Well, I have. And I know people that have been disinherited. It didn't make them not part of the family, did it? No, it just left them out. And usually they were disinherited because they wouldn't do what they were told. Or they didn't perform acceptably. And that's the same thing in God's family as well. Another benefit of believing in the present tense has to do with power in prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, in the present tense, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we have power when we go to Him in prayer. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe, present tense, on His name, but also to suffer. Isn't that great? If you're believing in the present tense, you get to suffer. But let me tell you, the Word of God says if you don't suffer, if you don't endure, you won't reign with Me. Suffering is essential if we're going to rule. In fact, it says if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him. Suffering is essential if we are going to rule and reign with Christ. Then, this is really very important. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Did you know that if you're believing in the present tense, the Word of God works in you better than if you're not? When I say works in you better, you're convinced of it, you believe it, and you let it change your life. If you're believing in the present tense, you're going to respond like God wants you to because you're interested in pleasing Him. Those that can't believe, their hearts are what? According to John 12, hardened. But if you're believing in the present tense, your heart is soft. And we need soft hearts. Because hard clay doesn't make a very easy statue. You can't make a statue or sculpture out of hard clay. You need to have soft clay. Another thing in believing is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, whom having not seen you love, present tense, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, present tense, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Believing in the present tense means that there's going to be joy unspeakable, and it has to do with the salvation of your souls. Now, this is the salvation of our soul. It has to do with faith, and faith, and that, and this salvation is a reference to the coming kingdom. And I really don't have the time this morning to cover that, but that's what this verse means. And if you have a question about it, I'd be glad to sit down with you and work it through with you. Okay. Another thing about those who are believing in the present tense, they are overcomers. In 1 John 5, 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Those who are believing are overcomers. You know what the word overcomer is, what a Greek word it's derived from. It's derived from the word Nike. You ever heard of Nike? What? Shoes. Do losers wear Nike shoes? Well, Nike wouldn't want you to think that. Only overcomers are victorious. In fact, this word is translated victory. In fact, that's what the word means, to overcome or to be victorious. So, who is he that overcometh the world? Those that are believing. You want the victory? You better stay believing. Don't fall away. John chapter 5, verse 24. And I need to close because our time has expired. But let me say this. If you're believing in the present tense, according to John 5:24, it says, "He that heareth my word," present tense, "and believeth on him that sent me," present tense, "has preferred life in the millennium, and shall not come into condemnation," that is, judgment, "but is passed from death," or actually the death, "unto the life." The judgment to be disqualified from ruling and reigning is referred to as death, particularly Thanatos, death. And this is what this is dealing with. If you're believing in the present tense, you're not going to be judged. Your slate's going to be clean. That's the main thing that I want you to get there. And if you're believing in the present tense, you're not going to lose your inheritance. And you find that in John 3, 15 and 16. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have preferred life in the kingdom." And the context of these verses have to do with Moses in the wilderness, children of Israel. And it says Moses and Aaron and most of the children of Israel perished in the wilderness. They didn't get to go into the land flowing with milk and honey, and which is the life that they were looking for when they left Egypt. Well, again, I emphasize in the closing verse, John 6:29. "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." It's not easy. It's hard work. Shall we look to the Lord in a closing prayer? Father, we just thank you for the encouragement that you've given us to be faithful in believing you, that what you said you will do, that we can trust you faithfully to the end, and that we will hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the benefits that we have as we walk with you believing today. Victory over sin, joy, peace, hope. We thank you for these blessings. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to muse on these benefits that are ours by believing in the present tense. We also want to thank you that we can be saved by the aorist tense of the verb believe. And if you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that you would receive him this morning. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.